A very, very warm welcome to Summerlink this Wednesday evening. My name is Chris Fishlock, and I'm on the staff here at St. Helens. And on behalf of all the regular members, which I guess is just about most people here, let me say a warm welcome if you happen to be here for the first time. It's really great to have you with us if this is your first time. Don't be thrown by some of the signs around the room. There's RML students over there, there's a Roman sign, there's a few others dotted around the room. Do please sit anywhere if you're new. The idea of the signs is that people who've been coming for some time can sit with people they know and then welcome you even more warmly. So I hope that's how you feel tonight, a very warmly welcomed. Tonight we'll be doing a mixture of things. We'll be discussing around tables. We'll be hearing from the front. We'll be hearing the Bible explained. There'll be a bit of singing thrown in for good measure. And, of course, we'll be praying. Most importantly of all, though, we hope and believe that we will hear God speaking to each one of us individually as the Bible is taught and explained and understood. We believe that God speaks to us. So I'm going to start by praying to that end. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together this evening, for hearing your word taught and explained, having the possibility to discuss. We pray, Father, that each one of us would be people who delight in your word. We pray that as a result of tonight, we will want to meditate on your word day and night. We pray that we will be like people planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season. Father, we ask that you will speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're going to start by discussing two questions. You may have seen these handouts on the table. Do grab one of these if you haven't already. First up tonight, before Charlie comes to explain some of Psalm 46 to us, we're going to discuss these two questions. So round the tables, we have 15 minutes now. 15 minutes to look at the first two questions. That's just the first two questions on the front part of your handouts. Don't worry about the rest. We'll come to that later. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Does this turn on? Yeah. How's that? Good. Songs of the Heart, and again looking at emotional responses, God ordained, God approved responses for us to make to him. But this one is quite different. I think we read it quite quietly just then. Sorry to spring that on you reading it out, but it's more of a shouting psalm than a sort of, here I am gently one evening after work reading out a psalm. It is loud and confident. We will not fear in verse 2. It's really quite bold, isn't it, to say we will not, I'll never fear. I'll never be afraid of anything. That's why I started us off thinking about stress, that sort of thing. Does anyone want to know which job was the most stressful? Does anyone want to know? Roughly, I'll tell you, it was IT. Does anyone get that? There you go. Extraordinary. Isn't it? HR was the least stressful on the list. There you go. I found another survey on the web, equally worthless, I think, that said that being a librarian was the most stressful job in the world, compared to firemen, policemen, soldiers, I think, something like that. So I think that isn't true. I apologise, the only librarian I know is here already. But I wanted us to do that because we don't really talk about fear today, do we? We talk about stress. Talk about anxiety, that's very much in the free newspapers that get given out every day, how to manage your stress. And we don't talk about fear, but I take it, I hope you were willing to talk around your tables, I take it there are lots of things we're afraid of. I don't know if you were willing to admit that. I take it there are, we're full of fears. I recently spoke on Mark 4-6 at the Aldersgate Talks, and it takes us through a load of fears. Let me just give you the list of fears that we talked about. Fear of nature, which is fear of things that are out of control. Fear of accidents. Fear of drowning. Fear of sudden death. Fear of evil. Fear of Satan. Fear of spiritual forces that we're out of control of, that want to hurt us, kill us, harm us. Fear of sickness. Fear of poverty is there as well. Fear of being sick and not being able to do anything about it, spending all your money on doctor after doctor and getting no better. And fear of death, the fear of your child. So having a baby that's 4 months old, that's just one whole new fear, isn't it? Wonder what's going to happen to him. And then we did fear of men, fear of what people think of you, fear of how you look, fear of what people will do to you. I don't know what it would be for you. I take it around this room. We've got a whole bunch of different fears. London is full of extra fears, isn't it? Fear of being mugged, fear of being bombed, fear of getting the sack, fear of finding a house, fear of getting knocked off your bike. That's a fear I should have more of for my health and safety. But there's every sign that this psalm was written in a crisis. This isn't some idiot. Just sort of writing, what should Christians think? I'll say we should never be afraid. There's every sign this was written out of one of those times in Israel's history when they'd nearly been wiped out, nearly been crushed and flattened. But in the middle of that, he says, we will not fear. Verse 2, we will not fear. How the psalm works is it's split into three. Do you see that little word, Selah? No one said that today as we read it through. That was very sad. No one said Salah. That would have been fun. But those are our three sections. So verses 1 to 3, Salah. Verses 4 to 7, Salah. Verses 8 to 11. And the heart of it is the one in the middle, which says that God is with us. That's the heart of not being afraid. God is with us. The city of God, it's his holy habitation where he lives. God is in the middle of her. God will help her, and the Lord is with us. Just different ways of saying the same thing. There's a sort of chorus, verse 7 and verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. It is the sort of thing that you forget how wonderful it is to say that God is with us. It's strange just how it's worked. We were talking about it on Sunday morning here. If you were here, Dick was talking about it, and we talked about it on Sunday night as well if you were here. God is with us. I'm not going to repeat what was said on Sunday, but just I wonder, since we're in emotional psalms, I wonder if you've forgotten emotionally how wonderful it is to say that God is with you. God is with you, next to you, on your side, beside you, watching you. God is with you. God is with us. I remember as a kid being a bit scared, sort of rough time at school. I used to imagine, I guess I nicked it from some talk I'd heard or a passage I'd read. I used to imagine each night as I was going to sleep, the big hand of God sort of wrapped around me. That sort of picture, I mean, it's silly if you like, isn't it? But it's true. It gets to what verse 1's talking about. He is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. It's a good word, a very present. He's not just sort of slightly present. He's not at the other end of the phone. It's not like the AA man. If you ring him, he'll be there winter, summer, spring or fall, however it goes. He is very present right now with us. By his Spirit, we said that Sunday night, in every Christian here, every believer in Jesus, his Spirit lives in you. What was true of Jerusalem in verses 4 to 7 is true of you. The river image is picked up as the Spirit inside us, present with us. So the big issue in the psalm when fear comes along is, well, he's with you, you know that. So the issue is, how well do you know God? How well do you know your God? And the pattern, if you haven't turned the page yet, you can now. The pattern, either side of the middle bit, is the same. It goes from who your God is to not being afraid. So in verses 1 to 3, it rocks around a big therefore. So verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And it's the same thing in verses 8 to 11. It starts off 8 and 9. Behold what the Lord has done. And then 10. Therefore, be still. Relax. Know that I am God. How well we know our God is what lays the groundwork for not fearing. And verse 2 is, I guess we feel like, do we feel uncomfortable saying, I will never fear? I wonder if you'd be happy saying that. This is the decision I'm going to make tonight. I will never fear. I've been involved in teenage camps for ages. And one of the things we used to worry a lot about was not singing songs that say stuff that might not be true. I think that's a good thing to worry about. But we used to sort of, we mustn't sort of get carried away. The sort of song that says, I will always, always love you, Jesus. Or, I'm never going to let you go. Or, I'm never going to give up. That sort of song. We said, can we really sing that? Is that putting words in people's mouths? It's interesting, isn't it? These psalms are emotional responses to God that God has approved for us to say. And even though the psalmist knows there'll probably be another ugly army around the corner, he says, I know God at this second. I know him. So I say we will never fear. And that's an okay thing to say. If we know our God, what he's like, his help, his refuge, his strength, it's okay to say, I know what he's like. I will never fear because I know who he is. And verse 2 and 3 are extraordinary, isn't it? They're not just talking about scary surfing waves. You go on the St. Helens surfing trip and unusually there's actually some surf and these big waves and I won't fear because God will look after me. Verse 2 and verse 3, we're actually right back at the creation of the world. He's saying, I'll not fear even if the division between land and sea breaks down. The thing God did on day 3 of creation, even if the world begins being unmade and the mountains end up in the sea, even then, because I know who God is, we won't fear. So this isn't someone who just hasn't experienced much of life, doesn't know what it's like to face an illness. This is someone who says, even if the world tears apart, because I know who God is, I will trust him. Is this a good way to put it? It is a hyperbolic decision. It's a hyperbolic decision. It's an overdone, over the top. Of course you won't be able to keep it. If you decide to say this psalm and mean it tonight, of course you won't be able to do it. You will fear later on. But right now, as you think about your God, can you say, I know who he is and I will never fear? It's an okay thing to say to God when you know who he is. We will never fear. We don't need to. That's certainly true. And the response of my heart is to say, I won't. The same pattern in 8 to 11, but it's interesting there, it's commanded. God says, be still, relax. It's a command. Often the Bible's like that. We're commanded to love God, and the response is we say, God, I love you. Same thing here. We're commanded, don't be afraid. Be still, relax. And the response in 1 to 3 is to say, we will not fear. I'm not going to fear. And again, it's the same logic. Don't look at the storms, don't look at the enemies, but look at God instead. Do you know the old phrase, God plus one is a majority? Do you know that phrase? Basically, the message of the Old Testament, I think. God plus one is a majority. So all through Israelite history, you have your one little Israelite, Gideon or whoever he is, but if he has God on his side, he's in the majority. That's the picture here. It doesn't matter how many bows and spears and chariots they bring. God can just say, thank you, stop now. So be still. And we're commanded to look at what God has done, verse 8, verse 9, and then we're commanded to be still and to relax. And it goes all the way to the end of the world. Verse 9 and verse 10 really are talking about the end of the world. And we're told to relax because of what God will do at the end of the world. Our relaxation is tied up in his glorification. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is what God is going to do. Can you see anything stopping him? Anything on our list of fears stopping God being exalted? Any of the things we worry about? Our sacking? The people who are enemies of the gospel around us? Or sickness, Satan, nature or death? Can you see any of them stopping God being exalted? Stopping at the end of the world, everyone saying, God, you're in charge. But the magic of the stuff in the middle of the psalm is if we're tied into God, we're with him, then as surely as he's going to be exalted, he will sort things out for us, bring us to his new creation, his new city of Jerusalem. So relax, be still, and know that I am God. I will never fear. We're going to come back in a second to what the best thing is to do when we're terrified, what this psalm might say. But first of all, I want to give a good bit of space. Again, I really hope you're willing to do this in the groups, to be honest, in the groups, just to see if this has been true for the people around you. That's one of the nice things about meeting like this, with a bit more space than in a sort of normal Bible study evening with maybe some groups mixed up together. The question I put on the sheet is, do you have experience of God being your refuge, strength, and very present help in trouble? What I'm hoping will happen is just people will tell stories round the table of how God has helped them, how it's been true for them, something frightening, and God has been with them. If you find that more comfortable to do split into slightly smaller groups, please do that. But maybe it'd be nice to just hear stories from all around the table. So again, maybe 15 minutes to do that. Would you mind pausing there and looking around? And if we could talk briefly then now about what to do when we feel afraid. I guess there were lots of conversations there about times God has helped us, but also about things that we're still afraid of, things when it's still hard. So here's, I think, how this psalm is meant to help us. Not just to tell us things, but also to be used to help us be less afraid. So when afraid, the thing to do is to use God's word. It's not just there to be studied, as if I could read it, study it, know all the answers in my head, and then when the frightening thing comes along, I should just be able to get the answers out of my head and slay the fear. And we often think, don't we, why am I still afraid? Why am I afraid of that? The Bible's there to be used, to be turned to when we're afraid, to be read out, thought through, sort of turned back to. So a few people will know, a year ago I had to have an operation, have a mole cut out, which was very exciting, except they wouldn't let me watch, which was a shame. I was quite keen to see it being chopped out. But after they'd taken out, they did a test on it, and it turned out that I had a very small, very safe, but actual cancer. And that was quite interesting. For me, as a sort of, I like not to be afraid of anything. Very interesting to suddenly come back from the doctor with cancer on your medical notes. Now, there'll be people here involved in sort of proper cancer will know that, you know, my little brush with a mole is nothing. But still the fear was real. Actually, what am I doing with that word attached to me? And did all the things I guess you normally do, back and look on the internet, ring up my friends who are doctors to see if they'd tell me the thing that my doctor obviously wouldn't tell me. But in there, and what I should have done first, is to go back to the Word of God, go back to a sort of favourite old passage, read it through again, back to the promises of God. Do you see how this psalm works? That you have three verses of rage and storm. Can you imagine verse 2? Can you imagine it happening, the film? The earth gives way, and the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. The waves roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Was anyone here when William did his sermon about the waves that were as tall as those arches? Do you remember that sermon? I was there on the day he was talking about the waves that he saw. He was lying. They only appeared that big because we were throwing his children into them. But if you can imagine that sort of noise of enormous waves, enormous crashing and thunder, and then you come to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our gods. And I think the contrast there is pointing how we should use this. So to use verses 4 to 7 in the middle of the storm and the fear and the rage and say, actually, there is a place, there is a city. What is it like? What is the place there? Am I connected to it? Is it my place? Imagine the river quietly trundling through the canals and making the people there glad. And actually, the person who wrote this only lived in the prototype. In the old Jerusalem. If he was switched on, he'd know that it was only a sort of if you keep my law deal. By the time Jeremiah is writing, he's having to say, this Jerusalem was never under total protection. Turn your back on God, this can be destroyed. But we have something far, far better, don't we? The Hebrews 11 verse is there to remind us, even then in the Old Testament, they knew there was a place they were really going to, a home in heaven, a city. And I think that would be an answer to fear that this psalm would encourage us to do, is to think about the place where we belong. Think about our city. I know that Paul, a couple of weeks ago when we did Psalm 23, encouraged us to meditate on it, to use it, to take it away. I think read it every day, is that what he said? To use it like that. I think it's the same thing here. Read it, sing it. Ask if you can see it. Read through verses 4 to 7. Can I see the city? Can I see its walls and its rivers? Can I see the place where God is? If you're a Christian, then you're a citizen of that place. And there should be a difference between the way that Christians react to fear and the way that everyone else does, because we have a permanent place somewhere outside of this world that is fixed and certain. If I lose my job, if I lose my home, I have a place. We belong. A place in the city that cannot fall. Do you see what we're doing? We're looking at the verses and thinking round them, talking ourselves into them, seeing ourselves in them. How am I here? Can I imagine being there? Do I think it's true? Would it be good to be there? Would I be glad as I sat by the river with God? Imagine someone showing you round. Be very Ezekiel, very Revelation, to imagine an angel showing you round the city. I've put some other references about the city on there, Psalm 48, loads of stuff in Ezekiel and Revelation itself. Read it through and think yourself into it. And also pray. 1 Peter 5 says we can pray about anything. It's okay to be anxious. Take them to our Father because he cares for us. Pray through them. Come out with a better knowledge of God. I know who you are, so I will not fear. And it's okay to pray to know God better. There's a promise in Jeremiah 24, verse 7, that is the sort of answer to the command in verse 10. Know that I am God. He says, I will make them know that I am the Lord. Ask for God to help you know him. That's a work of the Spirit that God promises. So I think I'll read now a bit of Revelation, a bit of the story of the city there. I'd encourage you, probably don't turn it up. Shut your eyes if you want. I'm just going to read a few short bits, the bit we looked at Sunday morning and the bit that Dick has promised we will get to in 3 weeks' time. And as I read it, Are you there? Imagine it. Can you imagine it, the place? What would be good about it? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign for ever and ever. I've asked the musicians to get ready for us to sing, if they want to come down there. And I'll tell you why particularly I wanted us to sing tonight. These psalms, again, they're designed to be emotional. They were designed to be sung, to be in our hearts and in our mouths. And there's a book I read when I was a kid, about a sort of famous old bearded missionary doctor, I think. And there's a passage in his biography where it talks about each morning in his caravan, in the middle of some jungle somewhere or wherever, he would sing hymns in his caravan in, I guess, quite a sort of loud, bearded, missionary voice, sort of probably slightly out of tune, that sort of thing. And one of the people sort of who were travelling with him passed by and said, that's his secret. That's the line that stuck with me. Each morning, he'd sing one of these hymns in the middle of huge danger. That's his secret. He reminds himself every day, singing out loud, heartfelt, "I do know my God, I will not fear." So we're going to sing both of these, loud and bearded, if we can. Please stand.